you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and ABC TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks. Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of this week in kink. This week in kink.
Hey guys, what's going on? You're listening to ReviewAday.ca, brought to you by exclusively ThisWeekInGeek.net. I'm one of your two hosts today to talk about this. I am, of course, Mike the Birdman Dodd from ThisWeekInGeek.net, but I'm not alone as we travel to a little town in southern Colorado. I am joined with
Alex.
And this is our first joint review of the year because I like to have people offering different perspectives, and more or less because Alex played this on a different system than me. Alex was playing today's review, which is Ubisoft's South Park, The Fractured Butthole. I played this on Xbox One, and you played this on
a PS4 Pro.
So, yes, how do we talk about South Park? Well, it's South Park. It's vulgar, it's violent, it's stupid. It's South Park.
It's everything you would hope it could be.
Exactly. And this is the massively anticipated sequel to 2014's The Stick of Truth, which originally came out on the PC, Xbox 360, and PlayStation 3. And this one, rather than focusing on the Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings sort of roleplay fantasy, we're deciding to take on the latest trend that has hit Hollywood and television screens everywhere, that's superhero. So The Fractured Butthole features you once again as the titular new kid, and instead of playing the king, you are playing a new superhero, which over the course of the game you'll gain a variety of access to different powers from a variety of different classes, such as Elementalist, Blaster, Speedster, Assassin, Cyborg, stuff like that. And the game starts out with a simple enough plot. We're not going to give away too many spoilers here, but you join Cartman's Coon and Friends, which is Cartman, Fastpass, Human Kite, and who else is there? Captain Diabetes.
Yeah, Captain Diabetes.
And Clyde is Human Mosquito.
Yeah, the Mosquito. I'm trying to think, because other people, there's other teams and stuff.
Yeah, the Freedom Pals.
The main team, you've got Mosquito, and Super Craig.
Oh, yeah, and Super Craig. So you are trying to go out into the city, which is, quote-unquote, infested with crime, and to
kitties
rescue
are being, kitties. Kitties are being stolen in the night.
You're out there to find one cat in particular who will allow you to start your Netflix super franchise. You're out there to find scrambles for,
because they need $100 to film it.
Which is amazing. Like, Netflix will quote-unquote greenlight anything, and that's sort of the premise of this entire game, is which superhero franchise can get launched first, be it Coon and Friends or Freedom Pals. And actually, the premiere for this South Park season is actually an official prequel to the game. It's basically the E3 trailer just dragged out, where Butters has taken over South Park.
Well, that's where they call Netflix, and the guy goes, "Hello, this is Netflix. You're already greenlit."
And it's kind of cool because it does play basically the trailer from E3 last year. And as you go into the game, like I said, you go on various missions to expand your powers, to expand the storyline, to find the missing kitties. And of course, nothing is as it seems. As it turns out, there may be a lot more to the missing cats than what you're led to believe. And I will say this, talking about the game's storyline, I felt like Stick of Truth maybe did things a little bit better in terms of the story scope.
I would say Yeah, I'd say it's probably best in this case to talk about what's negative about it, because there's a lot that's positive.
Yeah.
I had a harder time in this game figuring out where I was in the game as far as beginning, middle, end. Because in the first game, the world changed around you.
It was also a little more railroady. You knew where you were going.
Yeah. You knew, like, yes, there's still the main missions and you follow them, but it takes place over a couple of days, but it's still harder in this one. Like, the background of the town and everything would change in the first one, and there were more varied locations than there were in this one.
Yeah, the map from the original South Park game is not here. The town has changed.
A little bit.
Like, you now have historics, Soda Sopa, Sheepa Town.
Sheepa Town, yeah.
And you get stuff like that. You also can't access certain areas like you could before.
But not even that. Like, I feel like the missions that you went out, like your away missions, I guess, yeah, the ones that aren't part of the main map, they were less varied this time. So I had a harder time. I was waiting for it to build to something like that, like in the previous one, like the alien abduction in the first game, that sort of thing. There wasn't that, and it was hard for me to tell. It didn't feel like there was a lot of tension being built throughout, building towards something.
Yeah, that's kind of what I had with this.
It just sort of
game.
was the same amount of tension the whole way until the very end when it just spikes for a second.
Yeah, I mean, the Stick of Truth felt like there were bigger stakes at hand. I guess because you were looking for the quote-unquote Stick of Truth. Here, the Netflix franchise joke, while good, the stakes just didn't feel as high. Plus, one thing that really bothered me about the Stick of... or not the Stick of Truth, about the Fractured Butthole, is it's a better game mechanically. Like, when we actually talk about gameplay in a second, Stick of Truth had a much better end game. Like, the last hour of the Stick of Truth felt epic.
Yeah.
In this one, it felt like a Marvel movie. It was big, but...
When the game was over, I thought, okay, now we're going to lead to the secret teaser epilogue that's going to be big and epic and huge. This was the false ending. And I went, no, it's actually, that's the ending? Really?
Okay. Yeah.
And it's funny, because there are episodes of South Park like that, where it'll be like, oh, that's how it ends, and then it just cuts to the credits.
Yeah.
And that's the joke. So they had some of that in here, but... I felt, like you said, if the shortcomings were, the writing wasn't bad. It's just.
It's hard to top the original.
Yeah.
It's like Caddyshack won the Caddyshack 2.
It's hard to top the original. I still found everything to be hilarious but there were less laugh out loud moments.
Yes.
And this game was a consistent chuckle the whole way through, mm-hmm, with a couple highlights sprinkled in.
Mm-hmm.
The last one had me in stitches where I'd have to pause the game.
Yeah, ditto. There are moments where I'd be like, wow, that is
like
really
funny. There's not a scene where you're on bed, you try to avoid your dad's balls as he thrusts your mom.
Yeah, there were no extreme moments like that in this game, really. Now,
no.
I guess to talk about the elephant in the room, there's the talk about how you can make your character black and transgendered, and they say it makes the game harder, but it doesn't affect combat. From what I was told, all that changes is you get less experience and less money. And I played
less starting money.
Yeah, less starting money. I played the character as a black transgendered person.
So you're black transgender, and what was your sexuality?
Pansexual fluid or something.
Okay, I played a Pacific Islander Arab, but my skin tone was black because that was the hard difficulty.
It's funny, and it wasn't even, because you had to go into the combat difficulty to get the achievement for this.
Yeah, and I was not doing that. Yeah, we'll talk about that. That's the thing. Difficulty spikes that make no sense.
Yeah, there is one fight in this game I'm not going to spoil.
It's not just one fight. Every plot, from that point onward,
yeah,
every single major fight is 10 Gimmicky. Times more difficult than what you encounter around you.
Yeah.
And you can't level up enough to make that easier.
Yeah. Like, it comes down to what characters you know how to spam, and what characters you know how to take advantage of different...
Yeah.
Like, I would actually compare a lot of this game, I think, and how Final Fantasy Tactics has that grid view. Yeah, so let's talk about gameplay. So gameplay in South Park, it was my turn, your turn, my turn, your turn. In this one, you also have turns, but you also have movement. So you could certain attacks only hit in a certain grid of spaces, or you can only move so many spaces.
Yeah.
There's different status effects like chill, bleeding, gross out, shock.
The closest I can give to this, and like you'll say like Final Fantasy Tactics and those sorts of games, people have said XCOM, and that. No, the closest to this, where it's almost an identical system, only less, way less vulgar, would be the Mario Rabbids Kingdom Battle that just came out. It's an almost identical system.
Huh. So I'd probably be pretty good at that.
Except the only difference is Kingdom Battle, it takes place on larger maps where you walk a lot more.
Yeah.
But the status ailments, the buffs, debuffs, the way that you select a move and it can only affect certain areas in the grid, identical. So if you like this battle system, it was performed, honestly, a little better in Kingdom Battle. That was more refined. Because there were a lot of times here where you had a character that couldn't do anything because you weren't in the right spot.
Or you weren't in range of someone.
Yeah. So, but Kingdom Battle was almost identical. So I would say it's a traditional... Where the previous game was a Western take on a JRPG battle system from the late 80s, early 90s. This was a straight-up strategy RPG.
Yeah. And I really liked it. I mean, all things considered, there's a lot more strategy involved here than from the Stick of Truth, which means, like I said, mechanically, this is a better game. That being said, much like in Stick of Truth, the way to win battles is status ailments. Just inflict gross out and bleeding, you've won. That's how my playthrough went through it as. However, to talk about difficulty spikes in this game, any of the, I guess, set-piece fights are gimmicky, but that's fine, and they're supposed to be. But there's one that will frustrate you because you have to use movement to your advantage. You have to have characters that can push other characters back on the map or switch their places so they can be in a specific area in order for them to be attacked.
And I was overpowered in that I had been doing all the side missions.
Same here.
I had done everything, and I got into every fight I could to that point. So I was easily two or three levels higher than I needed to be.
Yep.
And I'll tell you right now, on the hardest difficulty, it's impossible. I do not think it was balanced enough that you could possibly do it without pure luck. I had to put it on the easiest setting possible, and I died 7 times.
For that one fight that we're talking about? Yeah, the one fight that we're talking about happens on the second day. You'll know it when you get to it. I beat it with pure luck on Derpy Hooves difficulty because I managed to move every one of the players back into the area where they needed to be, and I did it in one hit.
There's an attack range area, and if you don't get it in a certain amount of time...
It resets the field.
It resets the field, and then there's an area of effect attack that can wipe your that will wipe your party in one hit.
Yeah, unless you are ready to go.
Yeah, it's almost pure luck.
And the items you have that will revive you don't give you enough health to survive two or three rounds to get your health back up to full health. Yeah. Like I said, it's a lot of luck in this game, but that's the only fight I felt that was unfair. Other fights were annoying. Like, there's one fight where you're fighting a stripper. It's in the first day of the game, so I don't consider that a spoiler, because you're going to get to it anyway.
It's been shown in promotional material.
Yeah, for it anyway. Yeah, exactly. When you fight Spontaneous Bootay, that's just keep moving. Keep moving,
you're fine. And there's another contextual one near the end of the game as well, but that one is a lot easier because there's a lot more movement around you.
Yeah, and you have enough health where you can survive the massive attack.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like I said, South Park Fractured Butthole, mechanically, it's a good game. It really is. It requires a lot more thinking than the Stick of Truth. I guess to talk about humor in this game, like you said, it's a constant chuckle. But there are very few laugh-out-loud, oh my god, that just happened.
Very, very few. Like, it was... And here's the thing. By any account, it's more funny than any episode of South Park
this season, anyway.
This season or last few seasons usually is. South Park still occasionally, as an episode, will get a really loud laugh out of me. It still gets one or two maybe an episode. And that's what this felt like, only stretched out over a longer period of time. Whereas the first game, and it wasn't even that I was surprised that, like, oh, they were doing some of these things. It was just genuinely really, really funny stuff. So I don't think haven't been pressured not to put certain things in, like the
abortion clinic,
or killing the baby and then you can cut its stomach open and get a trophy for that,
yeah,
or performing a fake abortion on
yeah, like, there were no moments like that in this.
There was nothing like that. It's just things happened around you. You were either escaping something or things happened around you, but there were no quick time events outside of your fart powers.
And, well, okay, there's the shitting minigame.
But no, but that's the same kind of minigame everybody hates to do anyway.
But at least here it felt more fun.
Until you get the 4-star ones.
Until you got the 4-star toilets, which was really annoying. And it's easy to miss toilets for the trophy for this game, which Alex pointed out to me because I missed one or two and I would have had the trophy.
I did every single toilet as far as I could tell in the game. And if you do that, you're about 2 or 3 toilets over the limit to get the trophy. Over the limit for the master award for it. But then, yeah, I got the trophy. There's like 3 or 4 that you will miss if you don't pay attention.
Yeah. One thing I did like about this, now in the last game they had the chin Pokemon. You had to collect all 40 or whatever. In this one, pardon me, you're collecting Tweak and Craig Yaoi, which is like Japanese male love.
Yeah, and I'm still missing... I'm missing one. It's young boy love.
Yeah, young boy love. And I'm missing one of the pieces of artwork. I don't know where I missed it.
Yeah, I'm missing one or two maybe, and I can't figure out where.
And there's no gallery option that I'm aware of for you to go back and look at them, which I think, because as far as you know, when they originally aired the episode, they actually asked people from the community to draw it and send it into the show. So as far as you know, that's the same artwork. And if that's the case, that's a fantastic showcase for these artists.
Well, and I mean, I took a few of them. I took screenshots on my system.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only way I could see them, because they're funny. Now, there's a funny little mechanic in here, just before I forget, because we're talking game mechanics and stuff. If you look up online, like, a passcode on how to get into a room without finding the actual code in the game, Cartman will pop up in a football uniform and make fun of the Patriots and then lock you out, and you have to reload your save, or you can never enter that room ever. You could potentially brick the game doing that, and it's a way to deter people from just cheating and looking things up online.
Yeah.
They want you to search everywhere, and that's smart. So you can't just cheat.
You know what I realized? I just had this thought just right at this moment. This game is mostly streamable on YouTube or Twitch.
And I think,
because there's almost no nudity.
And I'm thinking that's maybe why we didn't have like your parents fucking on bed and you trying to avoid your dad's balls, or an abortion, or there's some things that are absent from the game that I am very surprised at, unless they're going to be part of major DLC that they haven't announced yet.
Yeah, because there is a season's pass for this game.
We're not spoiling that there's no Mr. Garrison.
Yeah.
At all.
I was really spoiling for a Caitlyn Jenner fight.
There is no Man-Bear Pig, because I think maybe because you killed him in the last one. But it would have made sense to have Al Gore in there because his new movie's out.
Yeah.
There was... trying to think of other people. There's no references to Chef, but of course he's gone, and they could have done the RoboChef or whatever, but...
And you fought him at the end of the last game, so whatever.
Yeah, so I mean, he's not there. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else major that was not really factored in.
I was really hoping you'd get the Caitlyn Jenner fight just because her and Garrison ran for the presidency.
Well, I was hoping that Jenner was going to be a summon that runs people over with her car.
I wanted PC Principal to be a summon, but he's just a random character who gives you the microaggression reaction.
Microaggression, rah! fuck him up!
Which I think is great. I'm actually really glad they included PC Principal in this.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. They covered most of everybody else in town. But there were a lot less cameos.
Yeah, there weren't as many celebrities.
There was no, like, Streisand or Mecha Streisand. There was the Kanye West one that was shown in the trailer.
Gay Fish.
Is like an afterthought.
Yeah.
It's just sort of thrown in for no reason, really.
And it's weird, because that section with Gay Fish, you're basically playing a Flappy Bird clone on a magical unicorn farting. Which is amazing! Which is really, really, really fun to play, actually.
Yeah, and the problem is, I think the joke was spoiled by putting that in the trailer.
Yeah, because they released that so close to the launch of the game, I think they should have left that one as a surprise.
Yeah, they should have done that, and they included most of everybody else. They even made a reference once or twice to characters that used to be in the show in the first season and aren't there anymore.
Yeah.
Like
Kevin.
Yeah.
Which, that's all I'm really going to say about that. But they do include a lot of stuff that you wouldn't expect. Like, the game feels larger in scope, but smaller in scale.
Yeah, there's less set pieces in the game.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know. How long have we been recording for right now?
Well, we're about 12 minutes into it. 11 minutes, yeah.
Okay, so I guess ultimately you're going to be asking yourselves, is this game worth it? Yes.
Yeah.
And there are two major reasons for this. Number two, its consistent writing from the first game is still present here. But the second major reason to pick this game up is you get the first game for free anyway.
As long as you get the first wave of them.
Yeah. And that's totally worth it, because to get the complete South Park game experience, you are getting essentially two seasons worth of material that couldn't be shown on, or that wasn't shown on television.
And I put about 27 to 30 hours or so into this game. I put
25.
I'm willing to bet about the same in the last game.
Yep.
So, you know, you get about, by JRPG standards,
about 50 hours.
50 hours for that, and just a barrel of laughs, and you can come in and play again. I don't think there's a new game plus option.
Not yet,
I didn't see that. And there's DLC coming this time, apparently.
Yeah, the DLC is supposed to be, you get the holodeck from the Freedom Pals, which will come out in December.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
There is the Stick of Truth relic pack you get for $5, or as part of the season's pass. Casa Bonita, which they explained is storyline DLC, plus I think one or two more pieces beyond
that. They didn't say what the next DLC is, the next story one.
Probably Canada.
I have an idea, yeah. Because I don't think, it's not spoiler, Canada's not the same section that it was last time.
No.
At all.
Which I hope they do I hope they don't do the 8-bit joke. I hope they upgrade it to 16.
Well, they make a joke in the game, because you're also collecting member berries.
Yeah.
Remember when Canada was like an old-school 8-bit RPG? Oh, yeah, I remember.
I love that. I think the member berry is one of my favorite gags from the last couple seasons.
Well, and even they make contextual ones about the Canada one. It was like, also, remember you can't do that on tele-, like, certain things that were only Canadian jokes?
Yeah, and we get that. I was like, whoa!
So they're they're contextual. So it's quite an interesting game, and the puzzles are actually make you think.
Yeah. There are, like, there's ones that involve time travel, ones that involve you doing things in a certain order.
This whole game is about time manipulation.
Yeah, and the fart system is less annoying this time.
It's much easier to control. If it looks like you can go somewhere in the game, you can go there.
Yeah, like there was a section in the first game that I really hated where Randy was trying to teach you this Stick of Truth fart one where you had to whiff it past you, and he'd be like, "Kee-yaw, do it again." And I remember having to spend 15 to 20 minutes going through that section because I just couldn't get the timing down.
Oh, when he's in the bathroom with him?
Yep. In this one, you don't have that.
No.
Your powers are squeeze the analogs together, up, down, or apart.
And it boils down to the powers that you have, for the most part, that are in battle, that are used as battle techniques, are then used in the main world as a way of
progressing the story. And you can also progress the storyline when you get fart powers too.
Yeah.
Which I actually missed a major one. Alex was surprised I beat the game without having it.
It was the only way I beat the game.
I was like, really? I didn't even know this was there. So there's still more things to discover in this game, but I do think it's worth your time. However, I might say wait till a Black Friday sale.
Yeah.
This isn't a must, oh my god, play this right this minute.
Yeah.
I might say there are other games currently available or coming that are probably worth your time right now, but South Park is worth your time.
It is 100% worth paying for and playing.
Yes.
It's going to be a perfect, like, Black Friday deal game.
Oh god, yes.
This will be a perfect Christmas present, because by then you're also going to have some of the DLC coming.
Exactly.
So if you're going to get this for Christmas, get the season's pass for it.
Yeah. Because I imagine there'll be a sale on it or something.
Absolutely get that. Also, because, you know, I played it first week when it came out, I did notice a couple glitches. Occasionally things would pop in. And my system, for anybody who needs a background, I have a PS4 Pro with a solid-state hard drive, so there'll be no loading issues. Like, my drive can load 500 megs a second. So the game is installed, working, and it crashed twice and shut my system down.
I had three hard locks. The game was still running, but the characters wouldn't interact.
I had a hard lock, and then I had an actual crash where PlayStation said, your software has crashed the system. and it's going to send a report into them.
Yeah, I had that happen once on my Xbox as well.
It happened when I... Do you remember when yours happened?
Yes, I was at the top of the Soda Pa Town fighting ninjas.
Mine happened immediately when I tried to use Quick Travel.
Huh.
I think something didn't load fast enough in the background, and then I tried to do something, and the character that's supposed to help you do your Quick Travel came in and then stood there and did nothing, and then the whole game crashed. It only happened twice. There hasn't been a patch for it yet, but that's something that...
No, there was a patch on Xbox One.
On Xbox
One. But I don't know what it did.
PlayStation didn't seem to have one. And again, I'm playing it on the most advanced system you could on the Sony platform.
Yeah.
Playing it on the Pro in 4K with a solid-state hard drive. That being said, super fun. 100% worth it. It just all depends. I would say if you're a super fan, rush out now and get it.
And, but if you can afford to wait a few weeks...
But if you can afford to wait and you think it's going to make a great Christmas present... Get it with the season's pass so you can get all the DLC that comes out around Christmas.
Yeah, it's going to be worth it. I mean, regardless, South Park games are never a waste of time. And I would also recommend you play the South Park phone game, Phone Destroyer, as well.
Phone Destroyer!
It's a good time.
Which that sound effect pops up in the game a few times.
But, so for this week in Geek and Review a Day, definitely, like I said, definitely check this out. Worth your time. Thank you to Ubisoft for providing a review copy for this for me for Xbox One. And, until next time, we have been
Alex.
And I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying live free or die hard. We'll catch you guys again next time right here on thisweekingeek.net.